Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. We will continue our thoughts today on the subject, the precious promises of God. We have already considered two of them, the promise of eternal life, the promise of rest. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the subject, the promise of satisfaction. For this series of meetings, we have chosen as a theme verse, a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We become a partaker of the divine nature. The life of Christ is placed within us by the Holy Spirit of God the moment that we believe in Him as our Savior, believing that He died on the cross to take our sins away, believing that He satisfied all the claims of God against us, believing indeed that that record against us, our sins, has been blotted out by His precious blood. The moment we believe that, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and places that life within us. And Paul could say in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now these wonderful experiences are all promised by God, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now to the subject of today, the promise of satisfaction. The world is seeking it. We have got it. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ feeds the hungry multitude, 5,000 people. And the climax of what he has to say to them is recorded in verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, we'll appreciate this verse a little more if we examine the context. The Lord had fed the 5,000, and they were seated, and we read in verse 11 of the sixth chapter, and Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now here the Lord satisfies their physical hunger, but he wants to do more than that. He wants to satisfy the hunger of their souls. And these people, the physical hunger was just about as far as they wanted to go. We read in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Well, now someone could say, I thought Christ wanted to be their king. And here the Lord, when he perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed and left them alone. He went up into a mountain by himself. Now, the Lord did not want to be their king on the basis that he satisfied their stomachs. He wanted to be their king on the basis that he satisfied their souls. We are so occupied with the literal, with the here and with the now, with our stomachs, if you please, but we do not realize the value of spiritual things. And God wants us to place the emphasis on the spiritual. We see that the very next day these people had the same thing on their minds. We read in verse 26 of this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus answered them, well, we really need to read verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Their minds were still on their stomach, and the Lord knew it. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, the spiritual, which the Son of God shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? The Jewish people require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Paul tells us that. They were a very pragmatic people. They were the show-me people. And they said, Show us a sign. What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? We wanted something literal. And then the Lord says, they continue their pleas of the Lord. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. That would be fine to get a meal and not have to repeat it. Then we read our verse. This is the setting for this wonderful verse, which is the climax of all that the Lord had done for these people. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and that's a promise. That is one of the precious promises of God. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, a double promise. Hunger and thirst are satisfied. Physical? No. A Christian can get just as hungry and just as thirsty as anybody else. The Lord is talking about a spiritual experience here, and he tells these people, if you will come to me, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He'll be satisfied in his soul. He won't seek any further. And he will not be thirsty. His thirst, the thirst of the soul, will be quenched. You know, thirst in the scripture is equated to desire, and the desire of the soul. Men are thirsty in the world today. They don't realize it, but they're thirsty, and they're trying to satisfy that thirst with the things of this world, and they cannot do it. It's impossible for them to do it. God alone can satisfy the thirst. I have said it before, and I think it bears repetition, that God created man thirsty so they would satisfy their thirst in himself. God wants man. He wants them to enjoy him. And he wants them to accentuate the spiritual, not the material that's passing away, but the spiritual which will continue for eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to emphasize that with these people. Now he goes on to say later in the chapter, and we want to consider how to obtain this satisfaction. He says in verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I am the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, the pragmatic people who could only see the literal, that's all they could see. The Jews, therefore, strove among them, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see, they've missed the point. I wonder if their minds are still on their stomach. They've missed the point. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? It would seem that their minds were on their stomach. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drinking indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. They couldn't take this. They were literal in their thoughts. Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean? Does he mean the literal consumption of his body? Obviously, no. There wouldn't be enough of his body to go around in the millions and billions of people that are going to heaven. He means it in the spiritual sense. Now, you and I do eat bread, and it's necessary. And we do drink water and other food. We consume other foods that sustain us. But we have to appropriate those foods. If we don't appropriate our food, we'll die. If we don't eat, we'll die. As a matter of fact, some people go on a hunger strike for a cause, one cause or another, to attract attention, and sometimes because they simply don't want to live. And they go on a hunger strike. The food is brought to them, but they will not appropriate it. Now, what the Lord is telling these people is this: my flesh is going to be put on the cross for your sins. I'm going to that cross to receive in my body the stroke of judgment that is due for your sins. I am going to shed my blood on that cross to wash away your sins, that you might have eternal life. And they just couldn't see that. They couldn't understand the Lord, and he's talking in the spiritual sense. You need to appropriate the truth of my body hanging on the cross for you. And we need it today. We need to appropriate the fact that Christ died on that cross for us, not simply the sins of the world, but for us as individuals. We need to appropriate the fact that he shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. As John writes so wonderfully in Revelation, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We must appropriate it. We must take it in. We must say, that was for me, and feed upon it. Savor its sweetness. Savor its strength. Christ died for me. He paid the debt of my sins. That holy body was crucified and set at naught. That blood was shed by cruel men. But that blood and that body was there for me, and appropriate it. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to be our King, to satisfy our soul's hunger. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that many who perhaps are hungry and don't realize it, trying to slip their hunger, their thirst, and to satisfy their hunger in the things of this world, may find Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.